You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of James, James chapter 1. Last Sunday, we were in Zephaniah, fourth book from the Old Testament, on real revival. And how did we do this week? No gossip, no envy, no strife, no fighting. Did we live a godly life, or were there flare-ups? We want to have revival. I need revival. And I believe God's people do. Today, we're in James chapter 1. And I bring a message that is really important for me. It's important for you. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, that's a very powerful statement, scattered. They were in the midst of persecution. They were not living in security. They were not in their own homes. They've been shoved out all over the area and region. And he said, my brethren, he's talking to Christians, count it, reckon it up, that you count it joy when you fall into divers temptation, different trials. I don't know about you, but I really don't like trials. Financial trials, emotional trials, betrayal trials, whatever it might be. But God says, count it joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, that is endurance. But let patience, endurance have her perfect work, mature work, that ye may be perfect or mature, wanting nothing. We must go through trials because that's what grows us up. We must learn how to, and parents, when you have trials in life, do not make it your child's responsibility. Well, dad's going through a hard time. You have trials so you can train your children how to deal with conflict. My goodness, don't complain and mope. Well, dad's depressed. Grow up, you're a grown-up adult man. Well, dad's having a hard time. So let's, I know, get him a little binky and get him a little blankie and stick him in the corner and rock himself to sleep. That, grow up, man, myself included. Let's be manly about that. Mature, that's what the Word of God's saying. Grow up. We are living in a sissy society. We're offended all the time. You can't tell anything, jokes. I'm talking about good jokes. You can't, I'm a German. You can't tell a joke about a German because I'm going to be offended. Maybe it's time to just become a man.
Amen.
Grow up a little bit in life. And the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work, complete work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it won't reject you with that, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith for this wisdom, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Our text is verse 8. I'm coming to you about this powerful verse for all of our lives. Ready? Let's read it together. Begin. A double-minded man. How many ways do you become unstable when your mind is a dual mind? I can do this. I can't do this. I'm negative. I'm positive. I have faith in God. I have faith in myself. I believe that God's going to make a way. I'm mad at the whole world. And God says, when I'm that way, I'm not only unstable, but in how many of my ways? All my ways. So I'm mad at God, or I'm mad at you, or I love God, or I'm mad at man. And so I'm looking for a wife. I'm single. I'm happily married. I'm looking for a wife. You're not stable enough to make a good decision. You're unstable in all your ways. Well, I'm in college. I'm at the university. I'm in Bible college. I'm in this college or that. I'm studying this medicine. I'm studying, and I don't like it. I did bad, and I'm not good in this class, and I'm upset over here, and I like this, and I don't like this, and you're unstable. And so you say, but I'll tell you what, I think maybe if I get a wife, I'll get the right thing. You're not able to make that decision. You're unstable in all your ways. Well, I tell you what, I think I'm going to quit school, and I kind of like to buy this new car, and no, you're unstable in. You don't make decisions when you have a dual mind. Well, I'm not happy with this wife. She drives me crazy. She's always this and always that. So I'm going to dump her off. I've got a different wife I need. You're unstable in all your ways. You cannot make that decision. Today, I want to illustrate a little bit about this because two minds, two directions is really where the vast majority of this world lives. We have two minds about everything. I love my church. I hate my church. I love my mate. I hate my mate. I love being a husband. I hate it. I love being a father. I hate it. I love my pastor. I hate him. I've seen it all. Been here, look, 50 years almost. You see it all. I've seen people come in all fired. Man, I've never been in a church like that in my life. I love it. That music, that singing, that Hispanic guy that sang. He's Filipino. But the Filipino guy that sang, the guy, the way he opened up that service and all, oh, I love it. And that preacher was great. I hate that preacher. I watch people like this, like a wave of the sea we just read. Up and down, up and down, up and down. She loves me. She loves me not. I love her. I don't love her. I love my job. Hate my job. Slow down, folks. Grow up. Mature. Let God deal with your life. Let me illustrate it. Page number, and it's not in the psalm, but I have a prayer journal. And my prayer journal is rather extensive. I can't say I can get through the whole thing in a daytime, quite frankly. So many requests. Something I get through every day. I try to get to page 26 because 26 is a long list of people in this church that have businesses. And I feel responsible to pray for your business. Now, in the years I've pastored this church, most businesses, when people begin a business, I go to their business and they've invited me to pray. I've been in businesses that opened up and the mayor for the city is that particular city or this city, and they're there and the mayor gives a welcome. They cut the ribbon and I always have prayer. I've done that so many times in 50 years, 49 years. We've had water stores, more than one. We've had candy stores. We've had restaurants. And we still do. We have real estate companies, mortgage companies, insurance companies, painting contractors, construction workers, many here today, architects, doctors, medical doctors, dentists, chiropractors, electrical companies, computer companies, carpet companies, investment management companies, funeral homes, and directors, and music company, and daycares, and photo stores, and that day, and coaching people that are coaches for businesses or sports. It goes on and on and on. But you know what happens almost every time? I think, Brother Moore, you'd be the one exception to this. But you have two businesses on the same street. And when the funeral business, it's you have to have multiple places when you run out here. He's maybe the exception. The business starts doing well, and they'll come say, Pastor, you helped us. You prayed for us. My wife and I have designed buildings with people and gave them ideas of colors and put walls here and contractors through the years. It's been a wonderful joy. But the first restaurant or the first business or the first company is going well. And then they come and say, Pastor, we're thinking about getting another one. And you know this is to be true. I'm not saying I'm always right, but I never recommend the second store. Do you remember what it took to get the first store? Remember that you never had a day off except for Sunday. You remember you worked 60, 70 hours a week. Remember that you had such heavy payments to pay. Remember you went through employee after employee after employee after employee, business manager. You went through taxes. You went through all. Remember all that you did? And now you say, well, we're doing well and we can get another store. Why? The root is always more money. So now you get to manage too. You say, well, I'm going where I'm getting where I'm going. So you say, I've got a good manager at this store. You're one phone call away from losing that manager. The doctor calls, says, I have cancer. The doctor calls, I have Lou Gehrig's disease. My wife called, and she served papers. She's divorcing me. My son is needing special care. I got in a car accident and I can't come to work. And on it goes. You are one phone call away from having both stores on your property, on your soul, on your life. And now you're going to be working nonstop. Yeah, but we're making money. But you have no life. Jerry and I were talking the other day, and the thing is, life is about Christ first.
Amen.
The things of God first, and then your career. Not your career and then Christ. It's Christ is first. And when Christ is in order and he is governing our lives, he's preeminent, then use your life, your business, to have a life with your wife or your husband or your family. But this thing of working, everybody's working. I was meeting with a young couple, I think they're in here today, this past week, they're getting ready to get married. And I said, how about your schedules? You're both in really high, powerful positions in your companies. So how about your schedules? And you know what? Their schedules about mirror one another. That's a good thing. Because this business where one works and the other's not working, or one has Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and the other one has Monday, Tuesday off, it doesn't work. You're gonna have to develop your marriage. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How this came to me, God, I'd been praying about a person for a position to help and to help in the ministry. I've been praying for this important position. I've been praying and praying. Is this the right person? And I've been praying for months and maybe even a couple years. And every time I got so close to ask this person, it seemed like the Spirit of God said no. But it's a great person, a good person, a godly person. But the Spirit of God said no. But I just discovered why the Lord's been telling me no. I'm not going to force something that I'm double-minded. I think it's right. I don't think it's right. I think it's right. I don't think it's right. Yeah, it is right. I think I'll do it. No, I want to have the peace of God ruling my life. And if we would just slow down. So I'm going through a trial. I got to do something. Maybe stand still and let God move. Look at the text. The text says this. The Bible says, but a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we have this business. Do you realize that 20%, 600,000 small businesses in America open annually. 20% fail within the first 12 months. They have to come in and get all the equipment, get it all out of there and get rid of it. 50% close their doors in the first 5 years. You better make sure what you're doing is not going to lose your shirt. I see how God did this for our family's good. My dad was over here at Central Chevrolet in the 50s and managing the cars as they came in, the 56 Chevy. They came in to service at 57 Chevy. And my uncle was over at Ford the same and doing the same job. Did you know that my dad was 90% deaf, and my dad got this hearing aid. I can remember wrestling with my dad. He used to have, you put ear monitors in, and then the wires came down here, and a man would hook the transistors to their T-shirts. And that's how you could hear. My dad could hear with those things. We'd wrestle and those things would fall off and he couldn't hear. Then they came out with the Audiotone and Beltone, had glasses, just like my glasses, but they had the ear molds right on them, 1959. He said, look at this. I don't have to have those transistors. I don't have to have wires coming down my head. And he said, they're better. I can hear real well with these things. He got so excited. And a guy came to him. I know the man's name. I can think of it right now. 1959, had a brand new, beautiful 59 Lincoln. And he said, I want you to go in business with me. And my dad, we moved from right here, and we moved to Stockton. And in Stockton, we had a good pastor, but it wasn't our home church. And we were there, and my dad got in business, and all of a sudden, the two men he was in business with didn't want to work. He was on a 12-story building downtown Stockton. You know that brick building down there. And my dad was in the bottom floor. It was an ambulance service right next to him that went down underneath the building. I'll never forget it. And my dad began to get all the bills, and they all left. For the next 10 years, we closed the business down. Next 10 years, my dad had to pay all the bills, including the partners, because he said, it's only honest, son. And he got us back to our home church as soon as we could. You think, hey, people think it all the time, man, I want to go pastor a church. It's so much easier there. I can do it. You got to make sure God's in that. I want to start a business. I know my sister did it. My brother did it. My brother-in-law did it. Hey, we're going to work together. That's generally a case of the stupids. We become unstable. The Apostle Paul said it this way. This one thing I do, not double-minded. One thing. I press, and he said this, I press toward the mark. Not a mark here. An individual direction that I may know him and the power of his right. And then he goes, that I might finish my course with. God has a course for you. Not this route, you're all over the place. Figure out what you're, I'm not against going into business. I am against going multiple business. You got yourself so divided, you can't even sleep at night. Got to go to the doctor. Why? Got ulcers. Well, no wonder. You got all this responsibility, all this payroll, all these taxes. And I'm telling you something, even as a nonprofit organization, our city, our county, our state, our federal government, and there's the business manager can tell you, they are throwing at us almost daily new regulations. And you got to post this up in the break room. You got to post this up right here. And you have to have your HR department. You have to have this thing. You have to have this thing. And you got to do this. And you got to do that. You got to. And it's just like, you got to be kidding me. We're watching on the buildings and putting a new roof up here. I won't go into all the details, but what used to be just normal, you just did. I can remember the old building over there 40 some years ago. We were building a new platform like this in the old building. Big thing, you know, had beams in there and all that stuff. And the city inspectors, they would come by every morning. I had the funeral for one of the men. He passed away, one of the inspectors. We didn't have a permit. We didn't need a permit. They'd come and sit, and we'd be building. What are you doing today, Pastor? We're working on this here. They'd have coffee with me. You cannot change a toilet without permits. They have regulation on everything. They have regulations on taking those air conditioners off the buildings now. We had to hire an engineer. They're off the building. It's crazy. You go into business, you are going to be working. I'm just talking about you have to stay single-minded. I've watched people all over America make such foolish decisions in our own lives. I've made my foolish decisions because I get double-minded. If I could just do this, I'll be happy. If I could do this, I'd be successful. If I did this, I could have money. If I did this, it's an answer to my life. I could do this, it'd be great. Slow down. You become unstable in every area. Let's look at the scripture. What happens? Verse 2. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Normally, when the trials come, verse 1, the scattering, we make foolish decisions. One, when trials come, we normally make foolish decisions. I know this area has priced everybody out of a home. I know that. But in 49 years, we've had five major turndowns here. The dot-com bust, when houses went from $1 million down to $400,000 just a few years back. The first one was construction trades. When most every construction, we had a lot of men in the church in construction in the 70s, and they lost their businesses. And you name it, it goes up and it goes down, it goes up and it goes down. I don't know what's going to happen. But Mrs. Treber and I came here, I said, if this church, 22 of you, counting the nurseries, if you'll let us stay, I'm going to stay and give you 50 years of my life. Now I'm going to give you more than that, even if you like it or not, but nonetheless. But I said, 50 years. Did we own a home? No. We were married, did not own a home. Year one, year two, year five, year 10, year 15, year 18. If I could have bought a home back then, I could have had 10 of them paid for. But couldn't get one. We'd have no money. And I had no family to give me money. This church had no money to give us any money for that. But I just prayed to God. I said, we're happy to rent. But when you want us to have a home, we're going to buy a home. Now we got a home. And thank God, when I turn 99, it will be paid for. I want you all to own homes. We're trying to investigate. They passed some laws in California that you can bring ADUs on this property here, nonprofits, and bypass a lot of the city inspections and have state inspections get them in and get them over, and cities are suing. Now, I'm looking everywhere. Where can we stick some ADUs? Our staff have no money. My goodness, they live in poverty. They literally live in poverty. And we have 70-some employees to keep a school open, to keep a college open, keeping publications open, keeping the radios open, keeping worldwide news, keeping up, and they need a place to live. I don't know how God's going to work it out. We need Sunday school space. We are so far out of Sunday. But I tell you, my biggest prayer in my life right now is housing for these kids, these young couples, these elderly in our ministry. Well, it can't be done. Well, I remember they told us this 3,000-seat auditorium couldn't be done either. And the city said no. And the city said no to the first lady's dorm, 200 beds. And they said no to the 200-bed men's dorm. They said no to the commons. And they said no, the owners that own this property, you cannot buy this property. You cannot even park a car on this property. But look what God did. Amen. God's going to always work it out.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think... And so nobody's ever wanted me, but a church called me years ago. We needed $500,000 building the building. And they said, now, Brother Treber, we just built a pastor's parsonage, a house for you, if you want to come. We have $500,000 in the bank. That was a lot of money back in the early 80s. You know, they said, would you pray about it? I won't pray about it. I promised 50 years. I don't believe you could. A man wrote me and he said, I'd like to come teach at Golden State Baptist College about 15 years ago. I said, send me your resume. In 23 years, he has been in 23 churches. I'm not interested in it. God bless you. Double-minded, all over the place. God's not going to move you 23 times, unless you're in the military. Look what the Bible says. Foolish decisions are made when we're tested. I'm reactionary. I can get rich this way. I'm having a trial. I got to handle it. Look at the second thing. Double-minded people miss normally the opportunity to develop patience. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience, endurance, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. God is trying to develop you through the adversity you're going through in life. And so I'm going to run from it. Don't run. I won't do it because it would be so rude, because you might be able to figure out a few families. But I've pastored thousands and thousands and thousands, and we baptized 19,000. They're all members here. I baptized tens, I pastored tens of thousands of people. I've watched people and they announce me, I'm doing this, I'm moving here, I'm going there, I'm getting out of this area, I'm doing that. And I'm not saying you have to stay here the rest of your life. Let's move away. I remember our son moved away to Arizona to start a church. Our son-in-law went in Southern California and took a church. And I understand those things happen. But I almost can see the handwriting on the wall. As they leave, as sweet, spiritual servants of the Lord, I say, unfortunately, that family's going to divorce. Unfortunately, that man right there, he's going to have an affair. I've normally called it right every time. That woman is so into herself, she's going to be unfaithful to her husband. Those kids they're raising, they seem sweet, but I tell you what, I watch them. They are going to rebel against their parents. You're smarter than me. You're looking at the man that has no idea how to turn a computer on. I was somewhere this week with TSA, and they said, give me your email. I said, I don't know. I don't have one. The guy looked at me like, you got to be kidding. In the Silicon Valley? See, I don't know how to use a computer. You folks are way above me in intelligence. But the one thing I have is knowing people. When you make a decision, and most time, if you ask me, I'm not going to tell you because Proverbs 20, verse 5, you draw it out. Some of you are making the dumbest decisions of your life. I watched a man, he called back drunk. He was a godly servant of the Lord here. He would never think that of that man. Called back drunk. I watched a man go to a place because I wanted a stronger preacher. He doesn't even go to church today, and he's not even married anymore, and his kids are a wreck. I could tell you that story over and over. Why? Because God is putting you through trials to mature you where you're at. Don't be a double-minded man. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that's a Bible. Look what the third thing here. It says, double-minded people are unwise. If any of you lack wisdom. Well, double-minded people lack wisdom, discernment. Ask of God. The foolishness of man overwhelms me. You young men that are going to go in the ministry, you're watching right now. That's the generation we live with. Dumb decisions, wrong decisions, foolish decisions, being led by who hath bewitched you. Someone takes it and hijacks your life for their good, not for your good. Number four, double-minded men are up and down. Look what the Bible says. Let them ask in faith. Stop right there. Could you take your hands right now? Would you make a wave for me? So let me see you all make a wave. Yeah. Thank you. You know what you just did? A wave is up, it's down, up, it's down. Brother Sly is a surfer. He knows how to surf. I don't know how to use a computer. I don't know how to surf. I don't know how to golf. And I'm never going to learn how to golf because of discrimination. They never cut the grass where I hit the ball. They're against me. What they are, they're racist is what it is. They say, well, here's a dumb guy coming. That golf ball says, look at this dumb guy. He's a preacher. He doesn't know anything. And they're right. But a wave is like this. Look what the Bible says. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the way of the sea. Watch this. And the wind driven with the wind and tossed. I don't think I have to be your pastor for a lifetime. I believe you can move. I believe you can get a career. I believe all those things can happen. But when you make a decision, it has to be based on faith, this text, and wisdom, or you're like this. Amen. I know it's going to sound proud. I'm out of time. I could actually help you. I probably won't because I don't. Normally, if you try to help somebody, unsought advice is never heeded. So I sort of back off, but I can look and say, I wish they wouldn't make, Lord, and I'll go to prayer. Don't help them. Don't make that decision. That is not even wise. There's no faith. There's no wisdom. There's no godly counsel. And I pray, God, help them. Help them. You know what you miss? Payday. Look at verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation trials, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life. God, Brother Martinez always works it out, doesn't he? He always works it out. I don't know how, but he always works it out. Amen. And there's not a lot of things I can convince you, but we're living proof of it 50 years later here with you. It works out. There's more tests coming. I don't like some of the tests I see on the horizon. I don't like some of the things I see. And I'm thinking, oh boy, look at this one coming. It's just so wearisome. Well, these people are going to get offended with this trial they're going to go through, and they're going to get mad at us, so they're going to leave. And I just watch it all the time. But you never know a payday, because the Bible says you endure trials, there's a crown of life. Now that we've been here all these years, there's been so many victories. There's been so many joys. There's been so many men and women have gone on to live for God, do so many good things for God. And there's so many that are sitting in jails today. There's so many that are lying in the graveyard because sin destroyed their lives, or they took their lives because they did not want to follow this passage. It became unstable. Up and down. Up and down. In closing, turn with me to chapter 4. It's only the second time in the Bible you see this double-minded. And verse 8 says, draw nigh to God. Number 1, draw nigh. He will draw nigh to you. 2, cleanse your hands, you sinner. 3, purify your hearts. And then he uses that word again. You double-minded. James was dealing with these people in chapter 1 and chapter 4. You have two minds. Two minds. Your minds are all over the place. I love God. I'm done with God. I love the Bible. I don't even understand the Bible. I love my wife. The lady drives me crazy. I love my husband. I wish I would have never married him. I love going to church. I hate going to church. And we go and we start to analyze and everything's wrong. I love my job. They just gave me a raise. I hate my job. They laid me off. They don't advance me. I deserve to be advanced. They're against me. I love my house. I hate my house. I love our house. But everything is breaking. The garage door broke. The plumbing doesn't work half the time. The air conditioning doesn't work right. The toilet had to be replaced. Had a leak in the ceiling and had a whole huge room damaged. And then it got it all fixed and repaired, and there was another leak during the rain, and it destroyed the same room twice in 1 year. I hate that house. But when it's all done, I love that house. You pray for me. I don't want to be double-minded. I'm very cautious how I say this. For some reason, God led me to 1952 this week. I was young. And Dr. J. Frank Norris told my wife the story, pastor of the two largest churches in America. He's my age exactly. And he went to Florida to preach a camp. On August the 20th, 1952, he had a heart attack during the night and died. Every president, every country wrote to him. Churchill wrote to him. President Eisenhower wrote to him. Previous president, Truman, they all wrote to him. He was well known. He advised all the preachers, all the politicians in World War II. And I read his life's account. He was trying to set the church in order and get the right people in place. He'd already given the church over, but he was struggling with it all. And pressures came, and they said he died of just a massive heart attack, a broken heart. And you get certain ages, you've got to make good decisions. I have no decision to make about leaving this church. Don't read into this. As long as I have, at this point, I think my mind, and I can be healthy, and I can put long hours in, and I love you too much, and I'm not willing to give you over to anybody else. And so right now, I'm double-minded. I'm just, it's not ready. I'm not ready. I don't think the church is ready. Some are, most aren't. I don't want to be unstable. And so when I don't know, you say, well, how long have you been feeling this way? About 10 years. Because I never want to be a burden to you. My wife loves me too much. I don't understand that president's wife that let her husband go out there with that awful, dreaded disease that he's had. I don't understand. That's not love to me. I don't know why she would do that to that man. I don't know why the people had covered all up the last couple of years. It was very obvious. I've told my staff, if I begin to forget things, J. Frank Norris, that great preacher I was talking about, they said he went to camp that night, and they looked, and he had two color socks on. He had lost it. He was losing it fast. He was supposed to preach, but he said, I don't feel well to preach tonight. And they sat, and those teenagers loved him so much from around the country, and they sang the last song, God be with you till we meet again. Went to his room, and he summoned his assistant pastor at 1:15. He said, I don't feel well. I can't breathe. And by the time the doctor got there, he was gone. They said they put him on a train, brought his body from Florida to Fort Worth, Texas. And they lined up in stations all over America to see the casket go by. America's preacher. I've got decisions to make over the next 50 years. Amen. I'm going to make decisions that I know God is leading, not my flesh. Not my fears. Not when people oppose. And I have nothing on the radar. I have not had any direction from God to do anything. But I do have a direction. I want to be here every Sunday. I can be here. Amen. I want to hear that choir sing every week. And I don't analyze them. I never analyze them. I want to receive from them. Those two songs this morning, the special, I don't want to sit here saying, oh, they're not good. Oh, they bless my heart. Amen. Brother Dan stood up here, his eye is on the sparrow.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.